This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead the show are as follows. Net neutrality is dead. Number two, we are being programmed. Talk about that. The Last Jedi. I'm going to talk about the new Apple iMac Pro that is just simply incredible. We're going to talk about Disney buying Fox Studios. And of course, a whole lot more stories today. I want to welcome you to episode 1247 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, December 14th. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, welcome. I'm glad to be back in the studio. A few changes here. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But been away from you for a week, and you're not going to believe this. Yes, in Hawaii, I'm wearing sweats for the show for the very first time. And it is weird weather here, but we'll get into that. Hey, everyone, welcome. Welcome to the show. And of course, I want to welcome all the brand new listeners to the show. Thanks for checking us out for the very first time. And if you're a longtime listener of the show, we want to thank you for your continued support and watching the podcast. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. Of course, if you want to check the show out, basically, and stay subscribed to it, it's real simple to do so. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, just get subscribed to the show. Right there in the side column of the website, you can subscribe by Apple Podcast, on Android, via email, Google Play, on Stitcher, TuneIn, or via just an RSS feed. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, just click in the more subscribe options. That'll get you hooked up on how to hook up and subscribe to a podcast. A little bit further down the page is information about the newsletter. Get signed up on that. That will contain everything I talk about during the show today. Email directly following the show. It's a one-way email. You don't have to chitter-chatter. You can reply to it, though. So definitely get subscribed to both of those. And again, if you're a brand new listener, this is a way to do it, to get connected and stay connected with the show. If you have comments on today's show, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com as well. You can join our Slack channel. Our Slack channel has really kind of been picking up lately. A lot of discussions going on. Send me an email. Tell me you want to be part of our Slack channel. You can follow on Google Plus or on Twitter. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel. You can listen on the Apple TV. Listen on the Amazon Echo by telling the device to play the latest episode of the Geek News Central podcast. Listen on Stitcher. Watch or listen on Blueberry.com. Or tell your Google Home device to play.
I can't connect to your Wi-Fi network. You can reconnect to.
All right.
Your mic is muted.
You can tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. I thought I had it muted already. If you have a Microsoft device, tell Cortana to play the Geek News Central podcast. All those are linked in via TuneIn. That's the way to do it. Of course, partner shows here include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site, written by my GNC team. And of course, most importantly, is the new media show that I do every Saturday with Mr. Rob Greenlee. And of course, the ever once in a while, in a blue moon, when I get a craziness going upon me, the Podcast Legends show at podcastlegends.com. All right, so just to kind of get everyone caught up, it was fantastic being in Seattle at PodCon. And meeting all the new creators, it was a great, I mean, it was, man, I rolled in there Saturday morning, got in, it was foggy in Seattle, went to the hotel, was able to check into my room, got a shower. By 9:30, 9:45, I was at our booth and got to talk to all these cool, really creative people at PodCon. If you want more details about that, then you can listen to the show on Saturday with Rob and I. But flew back on Monday, and if you're following me on Facebook, I had a seatmate that was, oh, he stunk like the worst BO I have. Makes me want to hurl just thinking about it right now. So anyway, I got home Monday and spent about an hour in the shower with bleach and Lysol. It was horrible. And so anyway, then just this week has been absolutely insane. We got a few things done in the studio. There's some changes right here. A little camera mix up, a little bit of changes there. Got the new switch in, that's installed. So I'm pretty pleased with where everything's going. So if you guys are watching the show, let me know what it looks like. If you think it's looking good, you think we got the brightness up too high, all that stuff. So definitely want to hear from you as well. But hey, everyone, again, thanks for being here and thanks for being subscribed. Of course, we want to thank our sponsor, our longest running sponsor of the show, of course, is our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy's continuously got good deals for us, right? And as always, you can get over at GeekNewsCenter.com/GoDaddy. The promo codes are over there. Really, it starts off with 30% off new product purchases. Get a .com for 99 cents. And get a $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year, a $1 a month for the first year. $12 gets you a hosting account and a free domain. You can get, about ready to sneeze. You can get a $1 a month, holy smokes, you get a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain as well. And in between sneezes here, you can get a 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder. Your choice of personal business or business plus plans. Again, GoDaddy's been with us really from the very, very beginning since, well, near the beginning, June of 2005. We want to thank them for continuing to support and sponsor the show. It's, and you guys, like I told you on the last episode, you guys knocked it out of the park in November. December seems, you know, kind of be going normal. What would I expect for a December? So you definitely stepped it up, and I definitely appreciate that again back in November for what you did there. Okay, so just a few more notes before we get into the content tonight. Again, this week has been just like brutal. Early mornings, late nights, lots going on. We announced a new site. If I was even around, no, the podcastmirror.com site got launched. I had a bunch of information about that was up. So I think you guys missed that. But that was something we launched a week ago, Monday. So maybe I did tell you about it. I don't know. It all runs together now. But gym workouts, kind of iffy. I've missed a few. So tomorrow is right back on schedule, 5 in a row. And then things are kind of calming down starting tomorrow, and I'm really going to start focusing on CES. Now, before I get into the content tonight, I want to share with you all, you know, I was on a mission, and I put the word out on the show that I was looking for something. And a few days ago, I got an email, or actually a Facebook Messenger note, from a podcaster and a listener of this show. His name's John. And John instantly become the hero for December. And he does a podcast called the Widescreen Movie and Media Podcast. It can be found over at theburgerbits.com, BERGERBITS.com. And he's been podcasting for a while. He's a good dude. He's a part of our Ohana here. But I want to show you what he scored. Dun, 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 dun. For those of you listening, what I am holding up in front of the camera is what I have been on a mission to get is, yes, the Super Nintendo Classic Edition. John was able to, he got one, And then he was making a purchase, was for something else, and it was available in a bundle. And he grabbed the second one, and he emailed me or messaged me, said, you still looking? I'm like, yes, I'm still looking. And he hooked a brother up. So I'm very, very happy. So here's the note. I just got to read the note from John. He says, Todd, here you go. Play it in good health. Don't spend too much time playing it, though. Many will be upset if you miss a show because you refuse to stop until you get past a particular area and link to the past. I used to be able to get my hands on the Wii and accessories for friends and coworkers when those were difficult to find. I guess some things don't change. Yes, indeed. And John had a pretty cool job before. He said, I've been listening to your podcast for 12 years. So this makes John a super ohana. For what it's worth, Geek News Central was one of the first that I started listening to those many years ago. So I've been a member of the ohana for a long, long time. Thank you for doing what you do and for encouraging others, including myself, as well as me. Someday, I'll finally get to meet you on any of your trips to the East Coast. I've been a member of the Blueberry Network for many years, which I mentioned that in the disclaimer at the end of every episode. If you wouldn't mind, I'd love a shout out on my podcast over widescreen.org. Oh, is it widescreen.org? I'm sorry, John. Widescreen.org is the location. Let me actually bring that up. Don't know why. Because I think when I Googled it, widescreen. By the way, I'm surprised someone hasn't offered you a lot of money for that domain. Here we go. So those of you watching, this is his website. Again, widescreen.org. And John's been doing this site for a while. And again, he's got the podcast linked in there as well. So, 218 episodes. And awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, John, you know, so here's what happened today, John. I have to tell you. So I get into the house and the package is sitting there. And my son says, you got some mail. I said, oh yeah, that's a very, very special delivery. And he's looking at me. I said, well, we'll just have some dinner. And I'll show you after dinner. And I got the show prep all done. And my 14-year coming, because I kind of made hints that something was coming. And I said, let's open this up. And he got the knife to cut the box open. And I said, no, we don't want to cut too deep. We might cut the box that's inside. And I'm kind of getting this look because I normally open boxes like rip, you know. And I pulled it out and my son's eyes got about, the 14-year-old's eyes got about big as saucers. And he dashed to his room and he came back and he's got his phone in his hand. I'm like, what are you going to do? He said, I got to take a picture. All my friends have been trying to get one of these. They're going to be so jealous. I'm like, now, no bragging. And, you know, you better disclaim that your, you know, your dad had one of his podcast fans, you know, part of the Ohana, hooked this up. And so he's like, can I open it? I'm like, no. No, you can't open it up. That's reserved for Papa. I get to open it up. And we're going to open it up very, very carefully because when I get done playing it, I'm going to stick it back in the box and we're going to, you know, keep it pristine. But John, you're the man. Yes, and it came in one piece. And I did, you know, so John was, was fair and I was happy to pay for it in shipping as I promised during the show. But if anyone else gets one, now you can give something to someone else as a Christmas present. All right. So anyway, cool deal. I'm glad to be back in the studio. And I'm kind of punchy tonight, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm serious. It's been crazy here. And not only that, I told you I'm wearing sweats. I'm normally like wearing shorts, you know, and I don't know, wear a t-shirt on the show, obviously. Okay, don't drop the stones because you're going to want to, well, just don't grab any stones right now, but it's been cold for Hawaii. Now, I say that carefully because some of you are 19, 12, 30. I was flipping through looking at New York, Florida, I'm looking at all these places and my phone is saying 60, but I'm going to tell you, Hawaii at 60 is bizarre. And it's been going on all week. Not only that, 25 to 35 mile an hour winds. So I was outside a lot the last couple of days. And what did I tell you guys when I started listening to, when you started listening to this show? I basically told my wife when we came to Hawaii, I would not wear a coat or jacket. Have a confession to make. I had to wear a windbreaker today. Just a real light, thin thing, something you use like for a rain jacket. I was freezing at 60 with 25 mile an hour wind. So, that's probably what wind chill 57. I know I'm ducking, but been here 20 years and my blood's pretty thin. And everyone's freaking out about it. And it's like, we're not going to change. Just for like next week, it's going to be like this. So, yes, I know. Some of you have snow. Some of you had snow cancellations. You wish it was 60 where you lived. I'm sorry. I'm just acclimated too much here. But I just had to tell you folks because it's weird. And I feel bad for the tourists that are expecting 75. They didn't get it. Anyway, so yeah, froze. I got in the shower tonight before the show, turned it up and was like, hot water. we have solar hot water. So I actually went and checked the tank before because I had to turn that switch on, but the water was plenty warm. But anyway, very cool. So anyway, I've chatted enough. Let's get into the tech tonight. I got a whole bunch of stuff to get into. It's a sad day, in my opinion. And what was funny was as soon as the FCC killed net neutrality today, when the vote went down 3-2, that was put in place 2 years ago, with rules that prevented internet providers from blocking and throttling traffic and offering paid fast lanes. They also classified internet providers Title II common carriers. So that's gone. It's done. It's gone. It's pow. It's finished. It's not coming back anytime soon. And so what do we do? So all the emails I got, because I'm on a press list, right? Because of CES and all these other events, all these media organizations, broadcast organizations were sending me emails of accolades of joy. The Wicked Witch is gone and net neutrality is gone and this is a big win. I think we'll have to see where this leads. But I think as net consumers, as us, those of us that are super geeks and are on the net, it's now up to us. It's up to us to watch how our availability, accessibility, and speed of our internet connections are. You listen to a video. Do you see the little spinning ball or watch a video? Do you see the little spinning ball where it's, trying to catch up, where it works with maybe one company and doesn't work with the next? Does all of a sudden YouTube videos look like they're being throttled? All this stuff that we need to go again and start watching. And it's back to us basically getting our pitchforks out and raising holy hob when we see companies doing something that they shouldn't. It's up to us at this point to basically make sure that we get net neutrality without the rules. The opponents of net neutrality said that the net wasn't broken in 2015. And while that may be broadly true at the point, it's false to say that all of the harms these rules were preventing could now be acted upon. Fast lanes. So let's say Netflix could go to Spectrum could go to Comcast, could go to all these companies and say, I want a fast way into your network. I want prioritized traffic. I want to pay for that. Whereas someone else, a Vimeo of the world, may not be able to do that deal and may not be able to pay that. So where the Netflix and YouTube will be able to get in there, where the rich get richer and the big get bigger, where small little startup companies are trying to get their video feeds through may be throttled. Or you're trying to get your favorite podcast. Someone does some sort of distribution deal to get... Now, I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think podcasts are going to be affected because audio files are relatively small in the scheme of things. When this show's done tonight, it'll be like 60 megs on the audio, but the video will be like 1200 megs. So it'll be a big, you know, we'll have to see what happens with our audio and video. The world's going to continue. Life is going to continue. We're all going to be online. What happens tomorrow probably won't change, you know, probably we'll see a noticeable difference, but we have to keep an eye on things and we have to hold these internet service providers accountable. And we need to make sure that equal access to the internet for all. We'll see what happens with this. I must admit, also noticed, put for some information. I had Spectrum come out. They called me. They saw my social media blasting and they came to the house and management came. And I think their most senior engineer, turns out, in my neighborhood, the lead engineer for Spectrum is on the same node that I am. So I can be pretty assured my node is going to be probably looked after really well because he lives in the neighborhood. So he was here along with a manager and they brought me to a site, showed me a site that I've never seen before for a speed test that was internal, their internal network. And what's right here in the loop, and basically the Spectrum or Time Warner or whatever, you know, their network, you always expect the fastest speeds in network, right? So the test site is about 12 miles from my house, wherever it goes cable-wise to get there. And they showed me speeds of 935 and 980, 900 on the internal network. Then backhauling using Flash with speedtest.net. And I've had Flash turned off for years on my browser, so we had to enable it. Flash to like California, we were seeing 780, 800 with uploads of, again, up 35 megs. Now, here's the deal. The beta test of speedtest.net, when I turned a Flash off and I went right back to the same location to do a test again, it was back down 550, 35. So having a couple of new sites to look at, they didn't really tweak too much, I don't think, but speed's been really good. And, you know, they did advertise that the top speed that they were going to get on this 1 gig connection was 940 here. So, my important part is the upload speed, right? We've talked that past. We're streaming on Facebook right now. Looks pretty good. We're doing it in 720p. And I'm looking at YouTube and the health is good. Not even near a hiccup. So we will start incrementally pushing the bar to see where we can break this thing. Now, internally also, in the network here in the studio, we're on, so let me just give you an idea of what has changed here. So this camera is being fed to the TriCaster via IP. This camera is being sent to the TriCaster via IP. This camera is a camera that used to be straightforward. It is on SDI. This screen, which is a monitor, is on NDI, meaning IP. And this is on NDI IP. And also, well, this is on IP. That's the YouTube screen. So everything here now, except for one video feed, is all being fed through the in-studio network. No longer do we need the, well, I've got them as backups for right now while we're testing, because if I have any dropouts, I can flip to the SDI, the wired feature. But really, as soon as I make enough money, we'll be able to put one more camera up that is NDI, and this will be a completely IP-based studio. There'll be no more wires. Everything will be run off a LAN connection. And then, of course, out the router and into the network for the live stream. So, you know, 3 days a week for about an hour each day, I need that upload speed. The rest of the time, I don't care. You know, that's the kicker here. So the studio is, I'm probably going to be the only podcaster with a full, you know, IP-based studio. I think I'm even going to beat Leo. Now, the only thing, of course, Leo's ahead of me. He's got IP based on audio. Don't think we're going to go there anytime soon. But definitely video IP based. I think I'm going to be one of the first podcasters in the nation to be fully IP. So pretty close now. But let me know. We got to get these cameras dialed in. They're not completely right yet. They're a little bright. So I'll be tweaking them. But that's what normally happens. You get some new cameras. You got to give them some time to, you know, kind of get dialed in and white balance them up the right way and everything else. But anyway, I'm regressing here. Let me go back to the show. A former Facebook executive is saying, you don't realize it, but you're being programmed. I think most of us, those of you that listen to this show, probably are semi-aware of this already. But former Facebook executives are criticizing the social media platform for its addictive drug-like effects on users. One gentleman said, it's literally is at a point now where I think we have created tools that are tipping or ripping apart the social fabric of how society works, says Chamath, and I can't even pronounce this, this is an Indian name, Chamath Pala. Palaya Patia, a venture capitalist, again, who had a hand in building Facebook user base. He says, this is truly where we are, he said. If you feed the beast will destroy you. He left Facebook in 2011 and started his own socially focused capital fund. And he told this audience last month at the Stanford Business School that he and those he worked with in the building knew in the back of their minds, despite feigning there couldn't be bad intended consequences, that something bad could happen. And I think if you see what's happening on social media right now, a lot of hurt feelings out there. And I think social media is making people a little bit sick. It's driving this insatiable appetite for ongoing news, information, and sharing. We all do it. I'm as guilty, right? So he says a short term dopamine driven feedback loops that we have created are destroying how society works. No civil discourse. This is true, right? No one has civil discourse. No one can talk to one another anymore. No cooperation, misinformation, mistruth. And you know, that's very true. Misinformation, mistruth being spread by everybody. And it's not just an American problem. This is not just about Russian ads. This is a global problem. So, you know, what do you guys think? Social media today was a big part of my day. And here, you know, those of you that have been following the show since nearly the beginning, or at least since 2010, will know about the my cousin and having three of her children essentially abducted by their own father. And who have been missing for many, many years. And there is at this point, low possibility that there's been a break in that case with some remains being found in Missouri, Missouri. That is yet to be determined if this is any relation or if this could be the boys. But, basically, three bodies have been found around the right age grouping. There's not too many sets of three boys missing in the country. So the family's a little bit on edge today. So this fired off this afternoon on social media, and I was dealing with responses and questions, and the family was all getting up to speed on this. So it's great for this type of informational stuff, right? And I'm sure we'll, you know, we're going to continue to share on our little private back channel, you know, what's going on. Nothing is, you know, there's got to be DNA tests and all that. So early stages here. And there's no, as near as we can figure it at this point, we can't even figure out how there would be a remote, remote relation, because he didn't have time to go to Missouri. And it was at, I guess, an abandoned house that this was found at. So we'll see where this leads. But social media feeds good and bad, right? But it also has us in there every day. I live on social media because our customers are there, and that's where I have to respond to them. On Twitter, you know, I have a software package that monitors keywords, that looks for someone saying something about us, oftentimes I'm tipped off if someone's got a problem because they're asking their friends, hey, do you know how to do this? And we get the alert and we can go there and help them. So, I don't know. So you think you're being programmed on social media? Love to hear from you. I think we try to program in this show, right? We want you to subscribe, or I want you to subscribe to the show, you know, so that you get the show automatically delivered on your mobile phone. And that way you never miss a single episode. There's a certain amount of desire I have to have you guys do certain things as you become audiences or fans of the show. So we'll see. All right. The astronauts in the International Space Station will get to see, or probably have already saw today, Star Wars The Last Jedi. And of course, I know many of you are probably just getting back from the movies or going to midnight premieres. I'm just going to wait a few days, but I'll definitely be going sometime next week and watching on the big screen, the wide screen, John. I'll be watching. So, can't wait to load my kid up. Probably maybe wait till he gets out of, goes on winter break. And I am taking a little bit of a personal, I'm going to do the show next week, but I'm kind of like doing a mini vacation starting. I always kind of like try to throttle it back a little bit during the holidays, even though I officially say I'm on vacation, but I'm like never really am. So, anyway, that's what we're going to do, but I want to hear from you. How was the movie? But more impressed, I was blown away by the specs of the new Apple iMac Pro. I was kind of sticker shocked too about the price. Now, in all honesty, we need a number of months like November with GoDaddy for me to even consider, picking one of those up. And I don't need it. But what a machine! You know, it's very rare that I've been on Windows desktop, right in front of me right now, right here. For those of you watching, or those of you listening, right in front of me are, main screen Windows, side screen Windows. Over here, the TriCaster is running on Windows. The audio recording over here is running on Windows. The two Skype machines are Apple machines. Okay, so Mac here, a Mac Pro over here. So mostly Windows in this studio. And I was looking at the measurements of the new iMac, because I cannot have a monitor that goes any higher than what I have currently in front of me, because it obstructs the camera view. So anything I buy has to fit in this eco space here. And I think the new iMac Pro is too big. But it starts at $5,000. And just for giggles, I went online, read all the specs. You know, they make their websites are beautiful. You know, let's just be honest. They make it sexy. They really, really do. They get you by, this it's so, all right, I'm getting the sickness too, but you know, you look at this thing and then you say, okay, let me go ahead and customize it. Well, I customize it like I do any Mac that I want. Let's pick the best processor. Let's pick the most RAM. Let's pick the most storage. And da, 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 da. And I get down and I'm like, 13,999 dollars? Stunned. Not so excited anymore. The Windows machine that I have in front of me that I bought like way tricked out. I mean, it's got like SSD. It's got all the RAM. It's got an amazing video processor. And I mean, it's like a monster machine, right? It was only $1,700. You know, the Mac Pro, the waste basket, you know, the one that looks like a waste basket. That one even was under $5,000. And they want $13,000 for a tricked out iMac Pro? What kind of weed are they smoking? The $49.99 iMac Pro comes with what appears to be a custom Xeon WHW processor. Intel doesn't show an 8-core Xeon W with a 3.2 gig base and a 4.2 gig boost. This chip could be a downclock Xeon W2145. Comes with 32 gigs of DDR2666 memory. Ships along with a 1 terabyte SSD, a Radeon Vega 56 10 gigabit Ethernet, 4 Thunderbolt 3 ports, USB style, and a 27-inch 5K 5120 by 2880 display that's compatible with the DCI-P3 color standard. For comparison, the old Mac Pro, yes, in the wastebasket, $39.99. You know, these folks at Extreme Tech have the gall to say, while I realize people argue about the relative value of Mac versus PC workstations until the end of time, there's no arguing that iMac Pro is a much better value than its predecessor. Well, it's true at the $5,000 level, but if you look at the entire package, holy cow. Now, this is only for the 8 or 10 core version. The 14 core and 18 core come in 2018. How much is that bad boy going to cost? Is it going to be a $20,000 machine? Who buys that? First of all, when I bought my first Mac Pro, and it was one of the silver aluminum case ones, and I tricked it out, and I'll be first to admit it was about $7,000, and I used it for 6 years before I had trouble with it, and I wanted to get 3 more years out of it. The Mac Pro that I have underneath the desk, I know how old that machine is. At an absolute minimum, have to get 5 more years out of that computer. It takes 3 years to get it completely rid off tax-wise. Okay. And if I think about it on a year-to-year cost and how much, if I break it down by month, I know how long I have to use it to get my value out of it. As much as the iMac Pro has got me excited, that price is stupid, especially if you customize it up. I mean, that is just a sick. Apple is making big money on this machine. And I bet you there's, how many of you ordered one? I want to hear from you. Did you add a bunch of stuff? Did you buy the base $5,000 model? Or did you really put the impact on the old credit card? You go out for the $11,000 or you go $13,000? Where did you come in? It's okay. I'm two thumbs up for you if you can afford to do it. But like a friend of mine, Ray Ortega, said, I have an iMac. I'm doing 4K video on it. Why do I need to spend this extra money? So the current iMac will do 4K. Why do you need, my Mac Pro will do 4K. Why do you need this machine? Tell me. All right. Zachary, can't read your stuff now. I'll read it later. Okay. Disney buys Fox Studios and cable TV channels for $52 billion. Now the question is, will regulators let the deal go through? The deal is done. Disney will buy up large chunks of Robert Murdoch's Fox Media Empire. Wow. So we'll see. Now, Fox News Cable and Fox Sports are expected to spin off as their own businesses. So the Disney conglomerate adds the Fox movie and TV studios, including big name franchises like X-Men, Avatar, Alien. When are they going to have the next Avatar? Major control of Hulu, FX cable networks, and 13, which is, of course, $13.7 billion in debt. And on top of that, Fox is attempting to acquire part of UK Sky that they don't already own. And if that's successful, Disney will get that too. So Disney owning the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Huh, interesting. So $52 billion. Now, will this one get held up in court? Time will tell. A little bit of analysis going on over at BGR.com talking about how next year's iPhones will get a huge head start on every Android phone, specifically because of chip processing and chip size. Apple is working on 7-nanometer chips and that are likely to be found in all 2018 iPhones. And of course, with heavy demand currently for the iPhone X, with a huge number of back orders, and Apple also doing $365 million investment in a screen haptics company who's figured it out how to put your fingerprint on the screen. This is big, 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 big. So time will tell where this leads, but Apple's going to keep cranking. How many of you have a Canary security camera? If you've got a Canary security camera, it's now getting smarter with free personal alerts. So it's going to be able to tell you when they see a person. It's going to be free of charge, free update. It's not going to be able to tell you who, but it's going to be able to determine whether it's not going to send you an image if it's a cat. It's going to be able to tell you if it's a person. Okay. So for those of you that have a Canary device, Canary camera, you're getting this update. Now, of course, we've been watching Bitcoin and Ethereum, and of course, we've been seeing what's been happening with the futures trading that's been going on. Lots of movement there, of course. But if you bought some Bitcoin or you couldn't afford to buy some Bitcoin, or you're sitting on the bench waiting for it to crash to buy some Bitcoin, maybe you've got someone in your family that needs a very interesting Christmas gift. If you do, get them a Bitcoin sweater or an Ethereum sweater. This is the most ugly sweater I think I've ever seen. But, sometimes guys need an ugly sweater. And let me see. What is the cost on this bad boy? What's it going to set you back? They're $60. So, you can pick one up for that Bitcoin lover. Gary Leland needs one. Those of you that are podcasters, Gary Leland needs a Bitcoin sweater, okay? If you're going to have a drone, if you get a drone for Christmas, please do your homework. Also, the Congress and basically the president is required now that you do have to have your registration on your drone. That's back in effect. But a drone operator is in big trouble here with the FAA. or actually National Transportation Safety Board, found that a drone operator is to blame for a collision of a DJI Phantom 4 and a U.S. Army Sikorsky UH-60M Black Hawk helicopter. You can almost be guaranteed who won that fight. The NTSB said in September, a drone pilot flew his drone farther than he could see. Now, Title 14 calls for pilots to be able to see their aircraft. What's more, the pilot expressed only a general cursory awareness of regulations and good operating practices and was actually flying in a flight-restricted zone. If you're using the app's going to tell you what category airspace you're in and whether you're safe to fly or not. Okay? This guy's going to get a big fine. The minimum is $37,500. All right, that's the minimum fine that this guy can get. Now, the helicopter was fine, had a few embedded, drone parts stuck to it, but it's going to end much differently. So, if you're going to be flying a drone and you're going to be flying it out of sight, which you're not supposed to, be very aware of where you're at and how high you are. And, just be careful out there, folks, because you don't want to be the end of the NTSB and getting an invoice from Uncle Sugar, because he's going to get his one way or the other. And Uncle Sugar, of course, is Uncle Sam. Japan's answer to Amazon is building its own mobile network, which sounds kind of weird. Japanese e-commerce platform Rakuten has announced its plans to shake up the mobile business in its home country. Reuters is reporting that the company is applying for a license to offer 4G service, making it Japan's fourth national wireless carrier. Rakuten intends to offer a service in 2019 as a target of gaining 15 million customers, and they want to tie it to their mobile sales platform. Interesting. So, those of you that live in Japan, got another carrier coming. NTT, Docomoco, what's the other one? I forget. SoftBank have some competition now. Congress has spared the $7,500 EV tax credit. So in the new budget, in the new tax laws, the $7,500 electric vehicle tax credits have been saved from the chopping block. Since 2010, consumers purchasing all electric and plug-in hybrids were eligible for federal income tax credit up to $7,500. Now, there's a limit on how many tax credits can be given away based upon the model of the vehicle. So, and they only get so many per model, not per year. So, anyway, very, very cool stuff. Google's most searched recipes of 2017 show a frantic nation looking for comfort food. They released this top 10 list, and it included how to cook rice. Okay. It's very simple. You wash the rice. Okay. You wash it till it's clear. You do that, right? You make rice, you have to wash the rice before you cook it. If you haven't been doing that, all I can say is, ugh. You basically wash the rice. Then, if you have a 1 inch of rice, 1 inch of water over the top of the rice, equal parts, rice and water. It's different volume-wise, of course, but that's how you measure it. So anyway, there's a lot more recipes. How to cook? How do you know when ground beef goes bad? Believe me, you'll know when ground beef goes bad. And if you don't have a good sense of smell, my advice is, when in doubt, throw it out. NASA's Opportunity rover withstands another harsh winter on Mars. When the Opportunity rover landed on Mars on January 25th of 2004, its mission was only meant to last about 90 days. But the little rover that could has exceeded all expectations by remaining in operation for a total of 13 years and 231 days and traveled a total of about 50 kilometers or 28 miles. Basic Laboratory is continuing to remain mobile and gather scientific data 50 times longer than its design lifespan. And NASA's Mars Exploration Program, the rover has managed to survive yet another winter on Mars, having endured its 8th Martian winter in a row. And with its solar power in an encouraging clean condition, the rover will be in good shape for the coming dust storm season. It also means the rover will live to see its 14th anniversary, which will take place on January 25th. So, good to know. Good to know it's out there still doing its duty. Now, at present, Opportunity and Spirit are in the Mars Southern Hemisphere. And so, what is the story? What is the status with Spirit? I forget what's going on with Spirit. I don't think it's driving, right? We haven't checked in on Spirit in a while. And of course, they've had some tire issues. So all they talked about was Spirit. I mean, Opportunity. Anyone give me an update on Spirit? I think it's parked. I don't think it's roving. I think it's still in operation, though. So we'll find that out. Skype has introduced interview scheduler feature. This is pretty cool. Skype video calls are used for all kinds of situations, but now you can schedule someone. And you can schedule the time, which is smart. So very, very cool stuff there. Honda is basically going to have a bunch of robots at CES. So I don't know if I'm going to get to see them, if I'm going to be in that area. But these four robots will be on display. One of them is pretty cute. I don't know what the function of it is. Maybe it's a delivery bot. And for those of you that are watching the show today, let me bring the picture up for them. Let's see here. Can you guys see that? Yeah, they do everything from getting humans around on any terrain or delivering cargo or just offering a friendly. So it's a little 4x4. Then it looks like there's kind of a Segway type thing. And then one of them looks like kind of a delivery vehicle. So anyway, Honda's going to have these at CES. If I get a chance, I'll go over and take a peek at them, okay? Let's got to close that, all right. And by the way, Kirk, nice job getting the show ready today. Google's now offering discounted tours and activities for bundling vacation packages. Now, I'll be honest, one of my cameramen for CES is my second cousin, and he's coming out from, he lives in Wauseon, Ohio, so he's going to fly out of Detroit, and we're a little late getting his airline ticket booked, so I was looking for tickets for him, and have any of you ever flown Spirit Airlines? He's flying Spirit, but I got him the package. So he's going to be able to check a bag, have a carry-on. He's going to have an aisle seat. He still has to bring his own snack, but it's only like 4-hour flight, so it's not bad, and he's kind of young. So I've never booked. It was a very weird booking experience, but I used Google to look for the cheapest pricing. And of course, I've got the app that Kirk has recommended. We talked about in a previous show. And I was playing around, and by far, Spirit was cheaper. I understand there are no frills and they don't always get you there on time. But CES is an expensive venture for me. No first class tickets for anyone going to CES. Google's adding price tracking again to deals, and of course on watching Google Flights, and so lots of changes onto these apps. So they're expanding their booking features and so forth. The link will be up in the show notes. And of course, ding ding, Google's getting a piece of every transaction. Apple has added indoor maps for JFK, LaGuardia, LAX, and other major airports. So didn't play around with that. I'm in airports so much that I get off an airplane, and as I'm coming out, I know, immediately if I need to go left or if I need to go right, and usually which concourse I need to go to. Matter of fact, on the way out, you guys are going to love this. When I was on my way to Seattle, on Friday night. Get loaded up in the airplane. I'm in coach and I've already done my routine. I've taken a sleeping pill and snuggled in, and you know, I've got this routine down so that by the time we go down the runway and take off and the wheels come up into the wheel wells and they're climbing out, I'm usually asleep. And I've got this whole routine down for doing these red eyes out of Honolulu. So I'm very comfortable. I'm relaxing in the seat. We get on the runway and we sit there. And then all of a sudden I feel us turning and we start going back to the terminal. I'm like, oh, mechanical problems. Pilot comes on the intercom system and says, we got to go back and check some cargo. And I'm like, check some cargo. And he made the mistake of telling me, get some weights. Or that's what they said over the PA. And I'm like, weight and balance? They didn't have the weight and balance right? And of course, now I get spooled up because when I was active duty in the military and flying, and not in the P-3s, but on the C-12s and other aircraft I flew on while I was at, I did the weight and balance. Now, weight and balance is critical because when you're rolling down the runway, if you got too much weight in the tail, they pull back on the yoke and the airplane takes off just fine, but the aircraft will never push over again and you will have a big problem and you will crash and die. Or too much weight in the front. Now, they've got a lot they can overcome. Don't me get wrong. This does have to be really crazy, out of whack for them to crash an airplane. So I'm sure we're going back, you know, probably discrepancy of, you know, let's, you know, how many ever pounds, but they have weight limits too, that they have to adhere to and the loading of the aircraft as well. There's all kinds of bad things that can happen if they don't get it right. And we go back to the ramp. And matter of fact, I pull the slide up and I'm looking out the window and I see the maintenance guy run side of the aircraft, pop the cargo lid, and in he goes. Now, I can just see the shadow, right? And he's probably in there a minute. Out he comes. You can see him closing the door, runs over, and we're taxiing and heading back to the runway. But we're taxiing real slow because I know what's going on. The guy that came out and looked at that, he probably called in the maintenance and said, okay, the weight was 862. Not 462 or whatever it may be. And it's a slow taxi to the runway and we get there and we take off. Now my juju's all messed up. So, of course, the entire time I'm on social media like, United, I only had 55 minutes to make my connection. And I know I'm going to go from gate 86 to gate 63 once I get to San Francisco. And if you know, that's like a super fast 10-minute walk. We get to San Francisco and we're late. And I've got 15 minutes from the time the door opened on the airplane to get from my airplane to the door at the other airplane before they close it. So I am getting my workout in. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, pissed. And I get to the gate and I'm kind of... Right. And the lady, she said, you walk or did you run? I said, I jogged. And she said, there's 91 people behind you. And I'm thinking to myself, why didn't the flight attendant tell us that there was 92 of us that had to make the transfer to the plane to Seattle? I don't know why there was that many people going to Seattle that morning. But we were 30 minutes late taking off out of Seattle because they waited for everyone. I could have went to the bathroom. I could have got some food. So, yeah, airports. I know airports, but weight and balance, bad. Airplanes crash. Facebook's going to be using its newsfeed to push more videos to users. Well, more videos in your feed. Don't be surprised. The Atari box pre-orders have been delayed. So Atari fans, we're looking forward to pre-order the company's new console. Will be disappointed. The company was supposed to start taking pre-orders for its machine from today, but it appears the development problems forced Atari to delay the pre-orders. And so the Atari console was confirmed earlier this year. It has a wooden box, much like the 2600. So we'll see when they're going to do this. But today was the day, and it did not happen. An armed robber stole $1.8 million worth of cryptocurrency. He made the mistake of stealing it and immediately transferring it to his own wallet. He actually beat this guy, and it's not pretty. Stole his keys, wallet, and cell phone, and went to his apartment. So it must be they knew he had cryptocurrency. You lose your wallet, your cryptocurrency wallet, my friends, it's gone. And it's very rare that people are able to get stuff back. Amazon's going to start selling the Apple TV and Chromecast again. It appears that they have basically bowed to pressure. So that is happening on Amazon. Speed test shows global internet speeds are up this year. Global internet speeds from November 2016 to November 2017. Mobile went from download November 2017 average was 20.28 megabits. Download year over increase 30.1. Upload average megabits per second was 8.65. Upload increase 38.9. Fixed internet, which is wired internet, download national average 40.11. Download over increase year increase was 31.6. Upload went from 19.96 to 20, went up to 19.96 or 25.9 increase. So countries with the most largest improvement included Laos, Vietnam, Trinidad and Tobago, Hong Kong, Lebanon, Cyprus, Republic of Union, Myanmar, Costa Rica, Cambodia, and Sudan, where it had the biggest increases in speeds globally. Alibaba will sell cars with a vehicle vending machine. Yes, you can buy a car with a vending machine in China. You sign up for a 3-day test drive. You have to have a certain credit rating with the 700 equivalent in this Chinese system. And you'll be able to drive the car for 3 days. You get to do it one time. You can buy the car over the app or turn it back in and try another vehicle. You're limited to 5 test vehicles over a 90-day period. Information on net neutrality is pretty big. The Wired has a big article. All the sites do. I have those links up today in the show notes. Verizon's free NFL streaming deal is good for cord cutters, but only to watch on your mobile device. You're not going to be able to simulcast it to your television, okay? The $2.5 billion deal was done with the NFL. Good on NFL for getting some cash. They need to get some somewhere. Microsoft's Seeing AI app for the blind now reads handwriting. This is amazing. Artificial intelligence took center stage at Microsoft's AI summit in San Francisco on Wednesday. And aside from announcing AI smarts for a range of software from Bing to Office 365, the Titan also is ramping up its Seeing AI apps. It now recognizes a lot more money, can recognize people, scenes, colors, product codes, and so forth. So for those of you that are vision impaired, I'm sure you're familiar with this app, but major improvements to it. And multi-country denomination reading is available as well. Uber Gizmo is saying that researchers at the University of Michigan, even though I'm not a University of Michigan fan, good job for them, and also a University of Fribourg, have basically made some discoveries. They've determined that electric eels could hold the key to perpetually powered implants in humans. They were looking at how electricity is created by eels and what happens with the flex and the muscles and chemical reactions and all that. And they're basically making a membrane that will be flexible, that will be able to not have to be charged through induction, but could be charged with everyday muscle movement. LG has unveiled a new Graham laptop ahead of CS 2018. Looks pretty slick. This looks pretty nice, taking some design cues from Apple. And LG claims that it will feature a 72 watt hour battery and will last users up to a day's worth of usage on a single charge. That's a big claim. It will come with an i5 and i7 processor. and says it has a fast boot feature, allows the computer to be booted in less than 10 seconds. That's even more crazy. So we'll see if we get a look at this at CES. Also, 7-Eleven, are you a fan of 7-Eleven? Can't tell you the last time I was at 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven is testing delivery through its mobile app. Yes, they're doing delivery. And they're going to begin testing new ways to reach their customers. Let me see. Do they have markets they're launching in? It doesn't say. But get your coffee delivered. Don't have to go stand in line. And also, last article today, for $350, you can get an unlocked Moto Z2 Play. It's a pretty good deal. And these were just $500 a couple of months ago. So again, the Moto Z2 Play at $350 was, again, recently as much as $500. All right, let's see here. Let's see how we're doing today. Yeah, stream is on solid, fantastic, good. Let's see what we've got for show notes. Then we'll get everyone out of here. Normal show schedule. Again, so today is the 14th. So there will be a show on the 18th. There'll be a show on the 21st. There'll be no show on Christmas Day. Then there will be a show on the 28th. So there's three shows left for the year. And then I'm off for Vegas. Okay. So three shows left to the end of the year. I know that you're going to be missing me, but we're going to be filling the airwaves and the internet with just an incredible amount of content. We got some cool stuff. The Live View folks are working with us. And if everything goes right, now listen to this, we're going to be able to have a team on the floor anywhere in the Las Vegas area and broadcast that back to our studio and switch that in live. That's the end goal this year. We're going to be doing in studio, but we're going to have out studio teams with cameras and backpacks and plugged in. I'm really, really jazzed. I think this is going to happen. If it does, I think we'll be the first to accomplish this at CES. And it truly will be live. It's not going to be recorded. And then the stick brought back, we'll kick it to the person that's with a camera and the whatever interview. And we'll do them live on the spot. It's going to be kind of rough because trying to coordinate it all. So the teams are going to be, Kirk is going to be working the phone and social and cameras. He's probably going to be coordinating people coming on live. This is going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of fun this year at CES. So you're going to want to tune in and probably a lot of regular interviews in the studio as well. So that's what we're up against, okay? So couple of emails here. Henry, thank you. I got a whole bunch of people that sent me emails on the Skeleton Boys. Gary sent me one as well. So Gary, you were up to speed, very much so. Also got some feedback on hotels. Kirk said the hotel was down the block from this hotel was down the block from a hotel. It's on Disney property, and it does have breakfast and shuttles. So the Hilton Orlando Lake Buena Vista, Kirk, that's the best Hilton in Orlando. That boy is expensive. So I'm taking the whole gang. I can have two rooms. Great suggestion. We probably won't be staying there. I've got points, but I want a few points left over. But yeah, good choice. I know that's a good one. We'll probably be staying at next tier down. Okay. Also got an email from Richard. He says, hey, Hilton's Home 2 Suites is amazing. I've stayed at those as well. So thanks for that. Richard, definitely appreciate that input. The thing about the Home 2 Suites by Hilton is it's on the, I would say, second tier of long stay hotels, but they really are. When you're somewhere like Orlando, all you're really using a room for is to come in and crash. So here's what you care about: clean beds, clean bathrooms, right? That's what you really care about. And just a place to crash. Because it's not like you're going to be hanging out, lounging. You know, you're there to, you know, have a little fun. So anyway, cool. Let's see here. I think that's it. Since I've been gone, that's all. Hey, I want to thank all of you for hanging out. We made time. We made it perfect. Perfect show length. And I told stories all the way through the show. I want to thank Peter and Zachary and John for all hanging out with me tonight. I know there's a bunch of you over on YouTube as well. Don't forget, we're at live.geeknewscentral.com. There's a chat room there. If you've been watching on YouTube or been live with me, please leave a comment. We definitely want to hear from you on the YouTube stream. So please leave a comment there if you've been hanging out with us. But it's been my pleasure to bring you the show today. And good to be back in the saddle. Again, a late start today, so it means late go to bed for me. Those of you that watched the video, what do you think of the video mock-up? We still have some adjustments to do on cameras. I think they're a little bright yet, but we'll get that tweaked in. But we'll see you back here on Monday for the next show. Everyone take care. Thank you for support of the sponsors. We'll see you next time. Everyone take care. Aloha.